no soldiers in Zeon, so we are certain to be victorious in this war!
What's up, Scum Buckets, and welcome to Scum Talk, the official Fetty Scum post show, back on your RSS feed. I am your host, as always, The White Shadow, and tonight we're joined by my three amigos, that's Spanish for friends, by the way, Dallas, Zach, and Adam. Gentlemen, hello.
Hey, what's good up, to be dude? Here. I'm the host of Scum Talk, Dallas Welt, and I'm joined by my three best friends in the world. That is English for amigo, Shadow, Adam, and Zach. Gentlemen, say jello.
Oh my jello. God, thank you for having us. Jello.
Jello.
Good hello, hello.
I am Zach Amore, scum of Scum Talk, here with these three guys. What are your names?
Fuck.
I love these auditions for my
I'm not going to do the bit. Fuck you,
Adam,
guys.
We rehearsed it. Fucking do it.
I'm not going to do it.
We don't have a 3-hour rehearsal for you to fuck it up when we record. Okay? Seriously. Just do the bit.
We tolerate this from Furin. You don't speak German and your voice isn't that sexy, bro. Okay?
I'm 2 wine glasses deep, all right?
Ooh, it's going to be good QA section.
So,
oh, yeah. Anyways, so we're here to cover episodes 11, 12, shit. 13, 14, are you going to cover 15, The White Shadow? I was just going to get to that. Shut up, listener. 15 and 16.
That's
a lot of stuff I don't remember, man. Come on. Why'd you do that?
Well, we just got done recording episode 18, too. We're fucked.
I've developed advanced, groundbreaking technology. You guys are going to be really enthralled with this recap. And it's going to get you right up to speed. Exactly everything you need to know. Nary a syllable more. Hold on to your pants' ears. Programming reminders. Keep your ears peeled for stress test live. It's coming. Recorded during ScumCon 2024. It will be coming to a YouTube near you.
Oh, it's coming. I'm working on it right now.
And cut. That was great. Good job, guys. In the meantime, we're going to keep grinding away on Blood and Sun. Don't worry. That, too, is also coming.
I'm actually working on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a joke. And of course, make sure you tune in for episode 17 next Tuesday for those of us in North America, and this upcoming Tuesday for you scumbuckets in England. But having said that, I think that's all you need to keep your earballs peeled for. Boys, did I miss anything?
That about sums it up.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. We haven't been doing a lot lately, guys. We're still on holiday mode, you know? I think around June we'll get out of it. We'll start putting out a lot of cool shit.
That's right.
You heard it here. Dallas promised you that.
I promise.
That's a verbal contract. Yeah. And if you're a patron, it's legally binding.
It's true.
That's true.
It's not like we're just taking your money and not delivering.
We wouldn't do that.
Okay. And I think with that, I think we are ready to make a little transition. What do you guys think? I'm going to take that as a yes. And transition.
What if I said no?
No transition.
What if I was like, nah.
Stop. What are we missing then, Adam? You tell me. It's your show now. You're the captain. Here's my hat.
I'm the host.
Dallas is the host.
Come on.
The captain, the host.
I'm the scum. What do you want me to do?
We're all waiting, Adam.
I don't have anything to add. You can move to the next part.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I can...
Let's just go to the next part.
I can steer the boat? Oh, okay, just wanted to make sure. Just wanted to make sure that was cool with all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. All right, and transition. All right, let's recap what's happened over these last six episodes.
Hell yeah. I would like to start off by passing it to Adam.
Oh, I see. It suddenly becomes clear why I was invited here last minute. I understand everything now.
You're a crucial piece of this.
Everyone has their use. Adam, come on now.
So you said, what, 11 through 16?
Dear God. Yeah, take us there. Take us back.
Episode 11 was the deal to buy the prototype Psycho Gundam.
No, I don't think so.
Where you met...
That's a prototype Psycho Gundam?
Yeah, the refrigerator.
I was just kidding. I was trying to help out the casuals.
The MRX-007B, which is a non-existent model, so don't look it up on Gundam Wiki and then tell me it's small. That's a regular one. That's not the one I'm referring to.
Yeah, it's all proportional anyways.
More importantly, that is when Holden and Cinco met Tyler.
Yes.
That's right. Our best friend for a time.
For a time.
He was horrible. Why would you even humor him?
Spoilers.
Spoilers for a bonus episode, maybe.
Yeah, they got to pay for that info.
Yeah, stop giving it away for free, Adam. God.
Everyone met with Harlan Leisher, arms dealer, businessman, and information broker, who also met with Wolf, and the Wolf with him came to an arrangement to pass off information from one person to the other.
Sounds right.
I think after that, there was a short pursuit as the Saint Sebastian headed to Luna, which is the arc that we're actually on.
Was that in episode 12? You have to go by episode. You can't just skip some
shit. Yeah, come on.
I always thought you told me you never listened to Scum Talk to hurt my feelings. I didn't know you actually meant it, Adam. What the fuck?
Yeah, come on, dude.
Jeez, dude.
Looking here, episode 12. The mercenaries prepare to negotiate their new contracts, and Capri gets edgy. Who writes these fucking descriptions?
You do.
What the fuck?
Does that give you enough information, that description I wrote, Adam?
No, not really. I know that basically this was the episode in which the mercenaries formally signed up with the Aeyug. It would also probably be Crunch Numbers debut.
Oh, fan favorite.
Crunch Numbers.
That we forget about every every five episodes.
Yep.
All right. So 12, we recap that. Was right. That sufficient, okay,
and then,
Shadow?
And then the refrigerator rose in episode 13.
That's true.
As the players got to roll stat increases.
Oh, we did do that. And Capri got to test out her new mobile suit, edited by Dallas Walk and Chris Ramey.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And it scared everyone. no one had a good time with that. It was very unpleasant. The Saint Sebastian also discovered that it was being tailed. That's an important detail. It was otherwise...
I mean, it didn't make it into the description, so how important could it be?
It was otherwise running dark all the way till Luna.
Did you mention the unexpected inspection?
That's later.
That's in episode 14.
That's episode 14.
That's right. That's the next one.
So entering Luna airspace, the ship is hailed by the Earth Federation, who basically press them into agreeing to a search. And each of the group had to handle different distractions and hiding things in different ways. The Psycho
You forgot about the lunch lady. That was like 40%, or probably 70% of the episode was the lunch lady.
Hell yeah.
Go on, tell them about the lunch lady, Adam.
She hates Holden.
Your favorite character.
She hates Holden.
Why does she hate Holden? You remember?
Not really, no.
Do you remember this crucial piece of information?
I don't, actually.
Because he has gambling debt with her.
Oh, that's yeah. Right.
He owes her like a million lunches.
Mm-hmm. Is it fucked up that I have more written backstory for her than Lone Star or Cinco?
Kinda.
Oh, okay. Well, then... Scratch that.
The inspection goes well. The Earth Federation doesn't really find anything, but they kind of call the bluff of Captain Tom and force the Saint Sebastian to dock at Von Braun, like the cover story that Tom gave.
Viva Von Braun, the Las Vegas Woo! Arc.
Yeah.
Viva Von Braun.
Which is episode 15.
Episode 15, the St. Sebastian is forced to port. Tom gives everyone's assignments, and everyone who doesn't have an assignment is given shore leave. The mercenary team, or former mercenaries, are sent to meet with an AUG contact at an undisclosed location that turns out to be a McDaniels. And Capri and Cinco go out for a night on the town. They get separated.
Then we have two separate nights on the town.
And they have nights on the town. Capri nights. Goes on a date with Jared fucking Mesa, of all people. Flipped a coin for that one, guys. Hope you're proud of me.
Really?
Hell yeah.
And I gave Kat some options, and I was like, I'll just decide and flip the coin of the remaining options. It was either going to be Jared Mesa or Gates Kappa. Wow. I thought Jared Mesa was funnier. So
we would remember Gates. That would have been cool if we would have met him later on.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have let us meet him? Maybe. I wouldn't have known him. Holden was.
Yeah, Holden wouldn't have known him, but Co-pilot would have remembered. Like Lone Star would remember him. I mean, Cinco would remember him.
Yeah, Lone Star might have, but too bad he's not there.
Too bad he's not here at all.
Yeah, but Cinco is.
Save it for the rundown, goddamn it.
Spoilers, dude!
Save it for the rundown.
Redacted.
We're not there yet. So the Mercs team arrives at the McDaniels to meet their AU contact, and then, wow, surprise, turns out there's this a police raid at the exact same time, and they're going to have to fight their way out. Switching perspectives, Capri's date with Jared is awkward, unbecoming, and just otherwise generally unpleasant.
It was really scary when he would say something and everyone would cringe and laugh. And I was like, I really didn't think that was that bad. I was like, no wonder. It made a lot of things started clicking in place for me personally. Anyways, continue. Sorry. Save for the round table. Save for the round table.
You fucking Jared pilled over here, dude.
Some of those lines were pretty good, I thought. I was like, damn, okay. And then everyone was like, lol, what a dork. I was like, ha, yeah, that guy sucks. What? I wouldn't say that.
Cinco went into a casino and discovered Rast Marco. And invited himself to Rast Marco's fucking casino table, where Rast Marco was doing some underhanded deal with a guy in a Dirty Earth Federation uniform. A big exchange of money, perhaps. Interrupted that, and on their way out, Rast told Cinco that he was in danger and needed Cinco to follow him and help him out of a tight place, only to pistol whip him.
Hey, you skipped the part where Cinco lied and said he was Lone Star to try and get in Rast's pants.
I suppose that's important, I suppose. Rast pistol whips Lone Star, quotation marks, on the back of the head once out of the casino. And is very insistent on that the Cinco should never lie to him again and tell him that he is Lone Star. Takes the money, shoots him in the stomach, and bids him farewell. And that is episode 15.
That was a chunky episode. How come episode 13 was just like hanging out with a lunch lady, and episode 15 has all that?
It's called pacing.
Don't worry, dude. That's called the lunch lady's going to have her crucial scene later.
It's called pacing, you uncultured swine. You need to leave time for room to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Dragon Ball Z pacing.
It's like Dragon Ball Z, yeah.
Hey, everyone loves the episode where they go get their driver's license, all right? You don't have, you know, I am ally to good, nightmare to you, mm-hmm. without going and getting your driver's license before and or after. It's called pacing. right, Adam? Did I get it right, Adam? Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's called pacing, dude.
Episode 16.
I got it. We fight in the McDaniels.
Yep. Moving on.
All right.
And then
you fight in the McDaniels. We have the conclusion of Capri's very awkward date. Oh, yeah. And everyone finally gets back to the Saint Sebastian, and Wolf is alerted by his information broker, Harlan Leisure, of CCTV footage of Capri talking to Titans.
Is that the one where Cinco has a serious talk with Polar Bear?
I believe...
Or is that the one before that?
I believe that's the, that
it's episode. That one.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell us about that sneaky little fucker, Adam.
Why am I doing all the talking? All right.
Because it's fun.
Yeah, Ali Bashir is confronted by Cinco about being a suspect and who linked the information to make the police raid happen in the first place at the McDaniels. And Ali Bashir confesses that, yeah, he was running away from the ship because he doesn't want to be a prisoner. But he didn't. He swears he didn't leak any information or contact the Titans.
I trust him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cinco trusts him, too.
I think he's a good little dude.
He is a good little dude.
What does Lone Star think?
I don't know.
Damn it, I was trying
Lone
to track you.
Been in this entire season.
I was trying to trick you.
And then in episode 17 and 18, I kill the entire cast. Hey. All right, recap done.
Spoiler.
We did it.
Listeners, when I said I had advanced technology, what the hell did you think I had? I got Adam PT on the fucking job. Nice work, Adam.
I'm going to need more wine.
Hey, you've been whining this whole time. What are you talking about?
My glass is currently empty and the bottle is downstairs. Don't you need to transition? Don't you need to do... What's the next section? What's the next section?
Oh, yeah, transition.
Captain, host, what's the next section?
It's me hitting the foghorn on this podcast.
Blowing this ship whistle.
Yarg, matey. Ye next section be ye old round table rundown, mateys, where we're going to sit around and talk about what it's like to be on the podcast for the last couple episodes, and I'm gonna be like, here's what it was like to listen to it. But first, we need to
transition.
He always wins those. He's so good. We're in sync. I want to be Justin Timberlake, though.
I don't know the other members.
JC Chazay.
I'm Jordan or whatever.
No,
Jordan Chazay.
I'm Big Jimmy. A Big Jimmy.
You could be the guy from My Fat Greek Wedding. But was he NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
I want to be Crazy Spice.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She had that one that went like, I don't want to wait for our last. Oh, shit.
I want to be Bitchy Spice.
Oh, shit. She had that one that was like,
I'm Slutty Spice.
I guess I'll be Sporty.
Okay.
I am fairly athletic, given my pear-shaped body.
I am unfamiliar with the Spice Girls.
Well, there's Bitchy Spice, totally... there's Slutty Spice, there's Sporty Spice, and then there's Angry Spice.
There's no Crazy Spice?
I'll take Angry Spice.
No.
I'll still be Crazy Spice.
Then there's the little baby of the group, Little Spicy. Little Spicy is the tiny one.
No, that's one of your stress-ass characters, dude. Stop spoiling season 3.
Oh, shit. You're right. Sorry. Coming soon.
Hey, by the way, Dallas, I just came up with an idea for a fucking stress test.
Are you just making up Spice Girls?
What? No.
There's Dumpy
those
Spice.
Those are the Spice
Angry
Girls.
Angry Spice.
Right, guys? Say nothing, audience, if those are the Spice Girls. See?
I mean, the audience, well, you going to tell the audience they're wrong? They pay our Patreon.
The customer is always right.
You know, anyone who ever says that has never worked customer service.
I have not.
No, not customers. Customers aren't always right. The customer.
Like
the one that pays us.
You mean the person who's listening right
for
now.
For this, specifically. Yeah.
Oh, that guy. Why didn't you say
or
that,
girl.
Hey, listener? Sorry, that all the stuff that we talked about that's not in the podcast, that's totally not about you. It's about all the other listeners.
Yeah, fuck those other listeners.
No, we love them.
Love
it's just,
you the
you know,
most.
We all have our idiosyncrasies. Speaking of idiosyncrasies.
Were you about to mention Idiot Spice? We didn't tell Adam about that one.
No, I was going to say, Adam, don't worry. I wasn't laughing at a mostly gay guy not knowing the Spice Girls. I was laughing at a totally unrelated joke I just remembered at that same time earlier. I wasn't laughing at you for not knowing who the Spice Girls are. That's not what that big laugh is about. I know it's going to sound like that on the recording, but that's not what that was about.
Look, there are classifications, sub-classifications, substrata of gay people, and I'm not the Spice Girls kind of gay.
Let's move over to the roundtable rundown. I just want to open up the floor for us to just kind of hash out the open air and be like, what the hell is this six-episode streak been like? As a listener, to set the table, the forks go on the left, the spoons go on the right, but the knife has gone right in my heart. It's been an up and down, a roller coaster of emotions. Tell me, what do you guys think?
Dude, same, bro.
It's been fun. Okay. I really enjoyed a lot of it. There was a lot of it I enjoyed for sure.
I'm sick of all their shit, but I'm holding on.
What about you, Adam? How did you enjoy the last six episodes?
You guys better not let this fucking segment fall flat. Okay, sorry.
No, we're getting there. Sorry. Let us cook.
I had to cock my shotgun. Okay, cook.
Well,
cook.
When I originally conceived of these six episodes, I was but a boy of 10. I spent years devising these episodes, balancing the combat to perfectly take up entire episodes inconveniently.
That's right. You actually wrote these six episodes before the first season, if I recall.
You're right. I talked about them plenty.
Everything just circles the six-season saga. Alliteration for you, Shadow.
I'm bricked.
I remember when I first read the script to the episodes a couple of years ago. I was like, damn. And you want me to play this guy, Holden? He's like so complex. And Adam is like, well, I think you got what it takes, Dallas, but not right now. I remember he specifically said that. He's like, you got what it takes, but not right now. 5 years from now.
That's true. We knew you weren't ready.
Yeah, I wasn't ready, but I don't know. I think I did it. What do you guys think? Come, what? Not you, the audience. What do you guys think, audience? Huh?
Yeah, woo! Yeah,
as the audience standing, I have to say, yeah. Yeah, I gotta say, boss, you really get cut out for that one.
Jokes aside, I've been looking forward to some of these reveals for since the beginning of the Zeta season. Honestly, since the beginning of the second season, somewhere around there. That's when I started thinking about the Zeta stuff. So, kind of where Rast Marco is and a few other characters that'll be popping up in the next few episodes. That has been like the driving force of Zeta. Up till now, I have been just making sure that the cast gets rounded out and gets to interact with each other and figure out their dynamics before throwing them wrenches. Now I'm throwing wrenches.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, this is where it's getting spicy.
Nice callback.
Fucking.
Oh.
So is Little Spicy a real one or is that a fake one?
Yes. Little Spicy? Yes,
none of them are fake ones.
You fucking idiot.
Except for Sporty Spice. That one was fake.
Can you guys stop bringing this up? I've been trying to...
Sorry.
I've been debating cutting all of the Spice Girl
talk. Now you have to keep the Spice Girl stuff in.
Oh.
Don't be idiot, Spice, dude.
Okay, next question. Next round table discussion
next
topic.
Next question.
I'm tired of this one.
Next!
I grow weary of this question, Shadow.
More wine!
This isn't the Q&A, guys. This is, I mean, okay, line. Let me check the script. Hold on. You know, I haven't had all these years to study the fucking script. I came onto the cast a little bit later. Jesus Christ.
Hey, I gave you about as much as I could for ruminating on these last six episodes.
No, actually, you did a really good job there. I do look like
maybe
I had
if
that
you got
right
into
out.
Specifics with the episodes, like what was it like to play the lunch lady, Zach? What was that like?
Well, okay,
that was the role that I was waiting for my whole fucking life.
No, you guys do that. This is your. Do you ever sit and talk about this? Do you guys ever sit around
you're
and
right.
be like,
you're right, we don't.
No, I see
well, here you go.
On.
The podcast is fairly hands-off-y.
Hands-off-y.
So what's it been like, dude? How about this? You want me to point you in a direction?
Hands-off-y.
This is the easy one. People don't know. People are not 100% sure, especially now more than ever, who Cinco is. Like, what is that like
good.
For everybody? What is that whole experience? Adam, what is that like for you?
That's
Zach, what
funny.
Is that like for you? Dallas, what do you like?
I want to start this one off because I have the perfect place to start it off. In all seriousness, let's step away from the meme just for a fucking second, please.
Okay. Yeah.
It's fucking, we always, Zach wanted it to be Lone Star, and we were just going to pretend like it's stupid that anyone would believe it's not Lone Star and people would meme it. And that's what happened. So, there we are.
Yep.
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
But now that it's gotten this far and people have been memeing it so well, it makes you start thinking, like, does it have to be Lone Star? You know, we could pick at anyone, really. Come on.
I mean, shit. Yeah. The speculation got me confused.
I mean, it is in the spirit of role-playing where, you know, you could have one idea and then in the moment change it up.
That's right.
Oh, guys, I think I had too much wine. I'll try to comment on this. So, yeah, when Zach first came to me at the beginning of the Zeta season and was like, hey, I want to play co-pilot. I was like, that's crazy, man. sorry, was I not supposed to talk about that?
I'm fucking laughing. I'm smiling so hard. I'm waiting. You're cooking. I'm just waiting. I'm smelling the aroma. My mouth is watering. I want to see what you cook up.
Look, every Scum Talk is also a script that Adam wrote 10 years ago. And this is just to muddy the water even more. He's an evil genius. He's a fucking evil genius, okay?
We're beyond red herrings. We got blue herrings. We got green herrings. We got fucking yellow herrings.
All of them.
He even wrote us color. Saying this.
It's turquoise.
So many.
That's right. Everything you're hearing right now is scripted.
Gun
brilliantly
metal.
By Adam.
We have no say in anything we're doing. Puppets. We're just trapped. We're trapped in Adam's sick world. Adam actually edits everything too. I don't even have a social media. Adam tells me what to type on my social media.
In fact, there is nothing that's actually edited because this is all perfectly scripted by Adam.
Adam had a secondary good idea for how to run a Twitter, and then he said, hey, I got an idea. Create this handle at TTW Shadow, right? And then he gave me the script, and I don't want to say, you know, anything crazy, but 342 followers later, you know, I would have to say it's been a success.
Hell yeah, dude.
Damn, he made you internet famous on a whim. Adam is all powerful.
Yeah, dude, it only took fucking 10 years.
I actually have a question for Zach.
Okay,
cool.
So, Zach, meeting Rast after so long, how did it make you feel? What did you think was going to happen prior to you finishing that gambling game? And
out of character?
Straight answers only.
Like, as me, Zach?
Gay answers only.
Okay. I was so horny. I couldn't think about anything else but just
God
being so horny.
So
bricked
up. I had that pre-nut unclarity.
All the blood just flowed straight to my cock and I couldn't think straight.
No,
for real. But I was like, was a bit sick to my stomach because I know you're a sick piece of shit and I knew you were going to do something fucked up.
Ah, good. All right, cool.
Furin knew exactly what you were going to do.
Furin knows me very well. I've written with Furin before, so Furin knows me very well.
Yeah, you're like ride or die, right? Get it? Right or die, get it?
Right or die, yeah.
Oh, I get it. It's like ride or die.
Yeah,
you said right or die.
Or die.
God, yeah, I get it. I like that one.
Thanks.
Did I come up with, I feel like it's one of my jokes. Shit.
Adam, is it true that Fern's only in this podcast because you're like his best friend on the internet?
I don't think I'm his best friend on the internet, no. I think I'm a good friend for him, but I wouldn't impose and say that.
Yeah, take it easy. I'm his best friend on the internet.
I just want to point out that technically that was not a no. That was not a refusal.
I just haven't asked Fern if I'm his best friend. I wouldn't want to assume such.
Again, also not a no.
See, Adam, look, you don't even have to ask if he's your best friend. Because he's my best friend. We have a band together now. Have you heard of Fahrenheit 451, dude?
Wow.
Spotify?
I heard that
What's
one.
What's the deepest secret Fern knows about you, Adam?
Dear God.
It doesn't have to go in the podcast or anything. I want to hear it online.
Yeah, we just need to know.
We need to know.
I just stopped recording. It's not recording anymore.
Yeah, don't stop recording.
Yeah, we're all stopped recording. Now you can tell us nobody's all your recording. Deep secrets.
It's such a nightmare to re-sync.
None of us are recording anymore.
Yeah, okay, all right.
It's okay.
All right.
Craig's just there. He's just hanging. He's not recording.
Craig is like, in the wings.
As long as you're not recording, I'll tell you guys the deepest secret I ever told Fern. So it was about 3 years ago, and it had been quite a long night for me. I was very tired, and I was contemplating turning myself into the police for my actions, but I instead decided to confess instead to Furin, and I told him how I did it, and I told him where, and I also told him where I left the body.
We got him, boys.
All right, get him.
Get him.
I don't know international bird law.
On the fucking ground.
Can he just say parody non-actionable and then he's good like in America? Or is he...
He's an accessory to my parody of a murder. That was a parody.
I have a CIA guy. His name is Steve. I'm pretty convinced. So.
You can say whatever you want. You can confess any murder you want. They can't do shit.
That's
right. A little
right.
Pro tip for
as
me.
Long as it's on a podcast.
Because this podcast is parody non-actionable.
Going back to the episode where the Mercs were negotiating their contract, I want to ask Holden how it felt to have a moment to shine as what Holden is good at, paperwork.
You know what? All jokes aside, I liked it.
Cool.
But yeah, no, that was really cool. I knew Holden had it in him. See, I've been trying to convince Holden for a long time to step it up and like show some character development. So, you know,
that's right. He's always holding back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was very happy that you like took the character opportunity. Because, you know, I don't think, at least with how I worded it, I didn't like hand it over to you, but I was pretty sure you'd take it because you had been kind of taking the paperwork so far. And, I think it worked out.
No, I'm glad you finally, you know, gave me some opportunity, Adam. Took fucking long enough.
Fucking finally.
Instead of throwing Holden the comic relief into every, like, straight scene ever just to get shit on as soon as he starts doing comic relief-y stuff. Yeah. Glad you gave him something to actually work with. That was pretty cool.
I mean, some of the shitting was Holden, but, you know, that's fine.
He was doing it a lot of himself.
Let me formulate a question. Let me throw one out here. So, obviously Rass is a big part of the whole ethos of Fetty Scum. The whole like the story almost hinges upon his shoulders.
You keep saying whole. Sorry, go ahead.
Trying to get its way in there a lot.
So, whole, what do you think? What do you think the whole of Fetty Scum would be if Rass was never beautifully created by me and Zach?
Yeah. You're fucking welcome, asshole. Another amazing NPC created by the duo.
You guys are so good at this.
I mean, Tom's ours, Rass is ours. You know, everyone gives you credit, but we made them. Who else?
I know, right?
No, that's good. Yes. I love
Miles,
that.
Miles, Tyler.
His get his ass, dude. You're speaking
crunch numbers.
Crunch
technically
numbers.
Mine. I named them.
The titular crunch
the lunch
numbers.
Lady.
The lunch
Cheryl?
Lady.
Cheryl.
So, yeah, back to Rest. Just do that one. You don't have to do the rest.
Yeah, we already know how fucking great we were with those.
I mean, I do feel like it is a collaborative effort with most of my NPCs, because if I don't have anything to bounce off of, I can't actually play them how I
That's
want
not what
to
I
play
asked.
Them. What is?
Yeah, dude. We already know that we scored the shot and then you picked up the ball before it bounced out of bounds.
I asked,
yes, we know.
What was Fetty Scum?
What would be Fetty Scum without Rest Marco?
Yeah. No, you had to have created, like, you know, a lot of what happens up to this point without Rest for us to create Rest, and you have to pivot, right? Am I wrong?
This is what you were really invited
I mean, it
for.
Would it would have changed stuff if Rest didn't exist for sure.
So you didn't you didn't plan
did you
up to
already
this
have an archetype of Rast planned and then it became Rast when we harassed Rast
I mean,
into
Rast,
being that guy?
Rast is just an archetype that I gravitate to of like Weasley pushover and I
Well, yeah, I mean it's you playing yourself. We get that part. But I'm saying like did you already have him specifically in mind with like the story arc and the finale?
Yeah, I was going to have you meet a Weasley pushover in that base infiltration episode.
No, you weren't.
Yeah.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was.
No, there's no
so
way.
There were two rats.
What was their name?
I didn't have the name I didn't have at the time, but I did come up with it.
His name was Grass Mowy.
You were going to have us meet a Weasley pushover in that base and you didn't have a name for them?
Yeah, probably. That's I often do that.
That is true, because we're always trying to fish a name out for you. We're like, what's his name, Adam?
Yeah, it's funnier, honestly, to come up with a name on the spot and also to have input of everyone coming up with the name on the spot.
Wait, yeah, so that's true. That means you created, you put thought, more thought into the Charleses than you put into Rat's name.
I did.
Wow.
You're like, what's a group of three guys? What would that be? Thinking app for hours. What would be a good name for that? I know the Charleses. That took you more contemplating than Ras Marco.
Only like a second more, but a second more than nothing, I suppose.
Well, speaking of the Charleses, when are those guys going to come back?
They might. I don't know. I don't have a place for them at the moment.
They should be Cavs guys. Can I throw that suggestion in there? You know what
Ooh,
I mean?
Ooh, yeah.
You like, know, I haven't guys. Really fleshed out Cavs guys yet, so...
There you go.
Be kind of cool.
Cav yeah. and the Charlies.
If that happens, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I like how Cav gets guys. Like, he's gonna have some guys.
I mean, he is, like, leading a team. We've established that. And Rad Delta's part of it, so...
The Charleses and Rad. The Rad Charles.
The Rad Charleses.
Oh, man. That's good. Speaking of Lon Doc,
yeah.
is his name supposed to be Long Dick, or you just did the thing you did with Rass and just put
I feel like it started off
together?
As Long Dak, wasn't it? It was like Long Dak.
It would turn into
Long Doc.
It's long Dak, but it's Doc like Long A. I just fuck up the pronunciation constantly because he's not a real person, so I don't care.
Is he related to Bond
that's
Doc?
Up. He's real to me.
Yeah, he invented his uncle invented the Bond Doc. How do you know?
His uncle Bond.
His uncle Lon's Bond uncle invented the Bond Doc.
It explains why it has that name. I like that. But seriously, Long Dick, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure.
It. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So he was a joke character. You never meant to have everyone like him so much, right?
He's still a joke character. What do you mean? People like him because he's a joke. People like Rast Marco because he was a joke character. What do you mean?
Now, how come no one liked Holden in season one?
Because he was a... You know that answer. It's because Copilot died and everyone was very sensitive and didn't want to see Dallas come back as another character.
Yeah, they're like, Copilot was different. Dead.
Nobody, yeah, no death. True. Nobody,
different
no death.
Dallas.
Yeah, but now Zach plays Copilot, so I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah,
he took the reins.
It's fine.
You have to come back as Lone Star.
All right, Zach, your turn to
move
the topic.
So, you got any plans for Cheryl, the lunch lady? How she's going to... end up betraying everyone in the finale? How's
She's
that
the lead. Have a Holy one. Shit.
I'm going to be honest here. I've written an entire sequel to the Zeta season with Cheryl.
Oh my
I
God.
I fucking knew it.
You heard it here, folks.
Too much of an asset.
I knew constantly pretending to be her when we're not recording this podcast was going to pay off.
Wait, is that why you wore that hairnet to that party, dude?
That's right, dude. That's why I had all those sloppy joes.
I thought you were just taking Veronica in a weird direction.
She's getting sloppy with it.
Oh, shit. Wow, that's the deepest cut reference of all of them. Holy shit.
Nice. I'll cut that if you want, Zach. You just let me know.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
We're getting vulnerable with our fans.
Deepest goddamn cut ever.
What a man. Goddamn. Hey, you guys keep doing this. This is really good. I feel like I'm getting to be a fly on the wall of an awesome discussion between the people behind my favorite podcast, which is exactly what this show was meant to be. So get back on it.
Hell yeah.
Fuck.
Before, Zach, when Rass shot you,
God,
before
what?
I specified after mm-hmm. about like a few minutes and the end of the episode and we stopped recording, because I know once we stopped recording, I told you, don't worry, you're not dead. Did you have any worry that I was going to kill you?
I didn't think I was going to die from that.
Cool.
But I did think I might die, like, later on. In like a more fucked up way, you sick fuck.
I just know that I have like the reputation amongst fans of being ruthless, and I'm like, I don't think I'm that actually ruthless. I play it pretty light.
Nah, that's true.
That's their way of flirting, dude. It's their Jared Mesa.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam, you're so bad. You're gonna kill all my favorites, aren't you?
That's true. I mean, I think you're justifiably ruthless to your NPCs who end up being fan favorites. So I guess they still have that argument.
Yeah.
You know, but you're pretty light to us. You know, you're pretty nice to us. You must like us or something.
I mean, in truth, killing a player character, and we found this out with Copilot, creates a lot of logistical problems.
Yeah,
it's just really inconvenient to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're story first, actual play second. You heard it here first, folks.
That's right.
Spread it around.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I think you do a great job of kind of giving the experience of being brutal without, like, when you look back and you tally it up, it's like, that wasn't that bad, but that felt like it was bad. And that's like the best way do it, in my opinion.
I think there's enough like hope in all of the chaos and the misery.
I will say this. Do you think, let me just put it to you like this. All right. And this is the most praise I'm going to give Adam on Wax. As long as I live, if I can fucking help it.
What the fuck?
This is it, Adam.
Think about how many people Luke Skywalker killed. How many people were on the Death Star?
At least 12,
it's a planet, and the inside of that planet houses people instead of rock and magma. So it's a lot. You know what I mean? It's like
I heard the Death Star's core was nothing but Ewok babies.
Yep,
it might have been, but when you frame it the right way, what a heroic deed he did, right? So you see,
I mean, either way, that's pretty heroic.
It's like the inverse, really, like. Adam does the Luke Skywalker stuff for real, but you know, or he doesn't do it for real, but he makes it feel like he's doing, if you actually stop and think about what Luke Skywalker does. Whereas Luke Skywalker actually does the thing, but nobody stops to think about it because you couldn't even get on the Death Star if you were under 18, right?
I see what you're trying to say.
There were no families. We get it. On the Death Star.
We get it. He's a little cuck like Luke Skywalker. We get it.
I see what he's saying. He's saying that Adam could get away with all the fucked up people he kills because a lot of the more fucked up ones he kind of glosses over and he doesn't make the listener aware of it. Like Johnny, you know?
Yeah.
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 But now we're making you aware of it.
Yeah,
that
he killed
sick
Johnny.
Bastard killed a child
for no reason. You didn't even include it in like.
There was no like story emphasis. It was just like, you know, fuck that little kid.
Okay,
he got like personal satisfaction killing that.
He doesn't even build it into Tom's like psyche. Right. Tom's looking at pictures
Tom's
of the quad
like
nut
over
and shit,
it, dude.
You want to know why I killed a child? You want to fucking know?
Oh, this ought to be good.
It's because you motherfuckers strapped death flags on him. You just kept strapping death flags on him. You showered him with love and praise and support.
So he could grow up and be strong, Adam,
for loving someone.
And you know what happens.
So the more we love something,
I like it. The more Adam's you like, you know why I killed a child? Because you loved him so much. Yeah, you sound like the good guy here, Adam.
You gave me no choice.
Hide your kids, mothers and fathers listening. Adam's coming for him.
Hey, nobody know death though, and Tom really is not that sad about Johnny. So I think he's in
denial.
It has been a really long time. Y'all forget how much time passed.
Dude, it's been like 10 years. Get over it.
Like my 10-year-old son would be 20 today if he was alive. Oh well, I don't give a fuck.
I just thought he was like blocking it out of his mind.
I mean, that's how we justify it.
Yeah.
Oh,
either
man.
That or Tom's a fucking psychopath.
Tom loves his quad. He loves his Ford F-150. That's all he gives a fuck about, okay? He just wants to grill and go fishing. And he has us chuckle fucks to deal with.
Look, war hardened, Tom, okay? And that first part was him losing his son, all right? He turned him into a different man.
He did go out in the woods and develop, like, get a bunch more sons. He, like, became the father figure of a gorilla. That's fighting. True.
There might That's be true. A reason he has a desire to be captain, even though he's not a good one.
He's got more sons now, and they're, like, way better at fighting.
Yeah, so. When you got a child that dies, it's the only noble thing you can do afterwards is, like, be like, well, I'm going to get as many son figures as I can and do right by them.
Mm-hmm.
Respect mm-hmm. to Tom. Major shout outs, Major
Redemption.
Tom.
All seriousness, if that was intentional, Johnny's death did, I think, strengthen Tom's character. If it was intentional, if you just accidentally on it and now you're like trying to backtrack, fuck you.
But, right here, right now.
I don't know. We need to ask Adam's ride or die to see if this is true.
Yeah.
Excellent callback.
I'll be honest.
That's right, we cornered him.
Oh, I feel genuine sincerity coming on. Holy
son
shit.
Of a bitch.
You guys are good at this. Holy
the
shit.
The kicks. Another.
I forgot about Johnny.
Oh, no.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to speak for the audience. I forgot about Johnny, too.
Well, yeah, he killed him off camera.
So you think Johnny's going to come back like Ras Marco?
No, you think Johnny's he's not. Gonna have a cool... He has no plan, Zach. Didn't you
Do
hear?
You think Johnny... Do you...
He doesn't even have a bonus Johnny... episode in mind. Johnny's nothing. Johnny died in-universe. He died in all of in Adam's mind. He doesn't exist anymore.
That's fucked up.
Like, a fate worse than death is being forgotten by everyone who remembers
including
you.
Your own father. Good God.
Adam unpersoned a child.
Oh, God. We just loved him too much. There was too much joy in this podcast. We were really the ones in the wrong here, you know?
Really, though? I think Adam, even on a different Scum Talk, I don't know, maybe I'm imagining this, but didn't you say that, like, the poetic justice of Johnny, like, dying unceremoniously is kind of, like, not poetic justice, but it's, like, revenge for the ship orphans being so fucking annoying in Gundam. Like, they fucking deserve it.
I don't think I said that.
Pretty sure you said that.
I don't think I said that. I
think that was you.
I don't think I said that.
Johnny was the Christ of the ship orphans. He died for their sins.
Like, I'm going to create a ship orphan and destroy him. That's what you said, I remember.
I don't think I said that. Look, y'all
so
got a
fucked up, man.
You got a victory out of me, okay? You got a victory out of me. Why you pushing for this fucked up shit?
Well, okay, then give us another ship orphan then.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not gonna? Why not? Why not, Adam? What's the reason?
All right, fine. All right, fine. I'll write one into the plot. Fine.
I feel like Bashir's our ship orphan.
Bashir is 100% the ship orphan.
I give you a Nazi war criminal. Y'all carry him around like he's fucking 10.
Zach does.
Zach treats him like
a baby.
He's a good little dude.
Hey, Zach, what is it about these characters that makes you want to adopt him and such?
Like, put him in your pouch.
It's probably filling the gap, you know, that gaping hole in his heart that Copilot left when he died.
Wait, why does Cinco give a fuck about Copilot?
What?
Why does Cinco care about Copilot?
No, Copilot
he
cares
is co-pilot.
About Copilot.
Oh,
that piece of himself right. that died.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
He's trying
to keep up.
Fill that hole in his heart with a new person.
And keep up with the gaslighting. All right, we're
Come
laying
on,
it on
man.
Thick this episode.
Anything else? These last six episodes.
Hold on. How much time we got? We haven't got to questions. We're an hour deep. Let's go to questions.
Yeah, I think that was a good round table. What do you think, Shadow?
Is that how you imagine it going?
I think I honestly, I hope this doesn't even go in the podcast of what I'm about to say right now, but I feel like a goddamn genius because I really had nothing for this podcast. And this is going to be one of the best Scum Talks of all fucking time. having said that, I would just like to ask everybody before we transition, do y'all feel like y'all got it off your chest? Does anybody have one last thing that they've been holding on to throughout their player experience that they want to kind of just get off? Or for their, let's just say, hypothetically, if it's Adam, if he has anything from his DM experience that he wants to get off of his chest, let's air it out. You know what I mean? But you guys have been airing it out. So whatever you guys want
to final remarks. I've said what I've had to
say.
I'll
leave it with this. I want what Copilot and Lone Star had with Cinco and Holden. And we almost got it in that bonus episode, but not quite.
And you know what? I wanted that to continue on into its own little series called Holden Venus. I thought that'd be so awesome.
Hear that, Adam? You know what you got to do.
All right, you want a bonus? You want a second bonus episode, Holden Venus? All right.
No, all we right. want a spinoff series called Holden Venus.
Everybody loves Holden Venus, dude.
I'm just saying that Mooney Pies bonus episode was one of my favorite episodes in a long time.
The last one that you were part of, the...
Yeah, the Holden Venus one.
That wasn't the last
Holden
one
Holden Venus,
part
episode
of,
okay. one.
All right, yeah, I got it off my chest. That's all I cared about.
Everybody got it off their chest. Say, I got it off my chest. Or forever now, hold your bitch-made shit.
I got it off my bitch-made shit.
Adam, you didn't say it.
Oh, what? Sorry. What was I supposed to say?
Adam, speak
did you
now
get it
all
off your chest, Adam? Are you happy now, Adam? You feel good about yourself, Adam? That's what we're asking.
Do you feel better now? Do you have anything else you want to share?
I could
You
going to
sleep well tonight, Adam?
I could sacrifice a few more children. I might feel better.
I'll count
God
it.
God damn it.
I'll count it. Whatever. Fuck it. That's a yes. In my book, that's
that means
a
we're getting
yes.
some chip orphans, guys.
And they're
Cannon fodder.
Wait till they start playing with Evil Haro.
Gonna.
Oh, God.
Look. Here's my. You hear this? Hold on. Listen.
Okay.
You hear that?
Ew. Do it again.
It's my little notebook. That's my notebook.
It's like, it's my little dick. I'm wiggling it around.
No, you hear this? Hear that? That's
I'm
a wiping
Sharpie. My dick all over my
script. Like, is that your is dick? Holy shit.
That is a king size red Sharpie. You know how big a king size Sharpie is?
How
pretty
big?
$25 like wieners?
Pretty fucking big.
Wait, no, pretty I meant that the big. Other way, Dallas. I'm sorry. $0.5 wieners. I'm sorry. My bad, dude.
That's $28 wieners.
All right. And I'm going to write here, add ship orphans.
Oh, God. I hear him writing.
Add ship orphans.
Are you allowed to do this without Fern around?
Then kill them.
Don't worry. I'm always around.
Say bonus episode before they die with them and Evil Haro going on an adventure.
Bonus episode what? Before they die with them and Evil Haro going on an adventure.
Before they die.
I think when I'm sick, I sound more like myself. I am for
an adventure. All right. I just wrote it into my official notebook so I can remember it when I'm not drunk on wine.
Hell yeah. We did it, guys.
Woo-hoo!
We're Adam's ride or die.
Yeah,
that's right.
We found them. It was you the whole time. All right. And I think that's going to round out the table and we'll call that a discussion. Gentlemen, y'all got it off your chest. I got it into my earballs. I feel great as hell. What about y'all?
Hell yeah.
Someone beat Dallas to it right now. Someone say transition before he ends it. Someone
transition.
Oh, nice. Good job. Finally, someone else won that. All right, and we're going to take it to the Q&A segment. Don't mind us if we move a little bit quick through this, but you guys could have thought of more questions, right? I'm sure you guys were all busy with friends and family and work and, you know, just your lives, but there are more important things. I'm sure you'll come up with more questions the next time, right? Right, audience? But we got plenty.
Right.
We got enough to work through today, boys.
Right, boys.
Our first question comes from DM AMAC. AMAC says, ask Dallas and Zach who they think the leak is. Hey, Dallas and Zach, who do you guys think the leak is?
Cheryl already
Ooh.
Said that.
It's Cheryl.
That's fine.
We know it's Cheryl.
Posing the question.
Zach, who do you think it is?
Well, I know it's Cheryl.
Okay, next. By the way, Adam, who do you think it is?
Okay, according to the notes for the next episode, it's Cheryl.
Okay.
The script is leaked. Oh, no, Adam has a script. I forgot. My bad.
Who leaked the script?
Yeah, stop leaking
was
the
it
script.
Cheryl?
That's a $50 Patreon tier.
That's one leaky bitch, dude. What the fuck?
LaCroix Knight has a question for Zach. Were you surprised to discover that your totally original character, Cinco Venus, was actually Lone Star this whole time?
That would be news to me. That's crazy talk.
I mean, it's impossible. That literally doesn't make any sense. They are literally different characters. They literally have different names.
Go back and re-listen to the podcast.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, if you listen to the episode, it's clear that Cinco Venus is actually Cheryl, okay?
It's been obvious this whole time.
I've been leaving breadcrumbs the whole time as Cheryl, as she does in the cafeteria with the bread.
Oh, God, I love that. Our next question also comes from LaCroix Knight. For Dallas, why do you know so much about wine casks?
I don't. I Googled it, but I knew about bungholes. I kind of knew about bungholes. I was like, I bet that thing's called a bunghole. And then it was. And I was like, hell yeah.
He has an intuition when it comes to bungholes.
Yeah.
You could say Dallas knows bungholes.
Well, I knew bungholes in the context of like ships and like, you know, the holes of ships to plug holes on ships. So I'm like, I mean, it's like a wooden like dowel going into a hole. It's probably the same thing on a wine cask. And then it was. So I was pretty happy about that.
I like that. That's the transitive property. Shout out to all my algebra heads. Next question comes from Jaganati, Venus enthusiast. For Dallas and Adam, fuck you, Zach. I added in that last part. Sorry, Jaganati didn't say that. I said the fuck you, Zach. Dallas and Adam, mayo on fries, yes or hell yes?
I will only eat mayo on fries if I also mix it with ketchup and mustard to make some weird fucked up sauce. That's what I call it. I call it Dallas's fucked up sauce. Some good stuff.
I will also only consume Dallas's fucked up sauce.
Yeah.
Don't put this in the podcast, but by the way, listener, Adam is single. I wanted to highlight the joke without the joke being highlighted in the podcast. So, the junkie boy, not anime, wants to know, Dallas, how hard is it to keep your comedic genius from seeping into every scene, even during the high-stakes serious ones?
Oh, damn, we kept it so unserious. At least you have to answering these questions. it's not comedic genius. It's like I made a joke character and he keeps entering serious scenes. It's like, how am I supposed to make that switch? Oh, man. That's how I choose to answer that. Yeah, no more discussion.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I like that.
All right, just hard transition then. Fuck that. No segue. I don't like to ride things. I like to walk. Show the junkie boy, not anime, wants to know, Zach, does everyone else have trouble keeping focus because of your amazing charisma constantly distracting everyone?
Do you guys have trouble keeping focus because of that?
Nah.
Okay, that's good. No, everyone's good.
On rare occasions when I'm playing an NPC and you style on them in some way, I am aghast.
That's the coolest character, too.
Hell yeah.
You should try to leave the NPCs in your life aghast, period.
Yeah, you're a witty motherfucker, Zach.
Aw, thanks, guys.
Sometimes you'll witty your way into making Adam aghast.
That's all I've ever wanted, guys.
And then his NPC that you just hijack has to take it like a bitch.
That's right.
Sorry, my Adam impression is born out of love, Adam. I apologize. It's too, it's too accurate. I know. It freaks me out,
it's
too.
It's born out of my Skeletor impression, all right?
No, it's me, Adam.
It's me, Skeletor. Castle Grayskull will be mine.
No, I don't want to record today, Adam.
Oh, so you've just been pretending to be Skeletor your whole life. That's crazy.
Show the junkie boy wants to know, T-dubs, that's me. How does it feel to be back in the studio at long last after returning from your epic journey where you trained in 12 more sword styles? I don't know how you got that info, show. Shook hands with God. That's just Tuesday. Found the missing city of Atlantis. Missing? Defeated the forces of Hoboken, New Jersey. Defeated, maybe not the right word. After they attempted a corporate takeover. How does it feel, show the junkie boy? I'll tell you right now, I'm sick. Thank you for the question. Lady Astra wants to know. Lady Astra wants to know, Adam, what are your thoughts on the increasing amount of straight NPC representation in the show? Do you feel not in show the Junkie Boy, Adam? Stop. Let me finish the fucking question. In the show, not show the Junkie Boy, do you feel it is an improvement or is it out of your comfort as a GM?
Yeah. So in a lot of BL and in a lot of boys love and girls love, you have this trope where every character that's introduced to the plot is gay. And that was fine for boys love and girls love, but Fetty Scum's not that. And so I have to, you know, kind of watch myself and not be too self-indulgent. But to answer the other question, no, I don't really have any issue playing a straight character.
Adam, who's the straightest character you made up as an NPC?
Straightest character?
Yeah, what's your straightest NPC?
Cav Walker.
Cav straight?
Yeah.
What? I bet that breaks your heart.
Yeah, it does. Bit. Oh, him.
No, he has high amounts of homoeroticism, but he is straight.
Yes, he's Iceman.
He is.
There's no way Iceman is gay.
Yeah, he has dangerous amounts of homoeroticism, but he is a straight man.
Cool. Well, you're welcome, Space. Got to the bottom of that for you.
Charles is like, congratulations. You win this one, Space.
That was really well said, Adam.
Yeah.
All right. These next questions, thank you, Swappy, come from Patreon Swappy. Swappy wants to know, let's start with Dallas. Dallas, what's it like editing for Fetty Scum? How much time do you tend to cut out while making an episode? As for your character, what exactly led you into making Holden the numbers/paperwork man of the mercenary trio? Beside the fact Wolf and Madgun could not be asked to do any of that.
So, I don't know. I got to reiterate this. Chris edits. He cuts the episode down. I'm not going to say he edits all of it. I still gloss it up, you know. I still got a lot of creative control over this. But he does cut it. And except those last two episodes. But I would say I tend to cut maybe like out of an hour and 30, hour and 40 minute recording, I'll cut it down to an hour. So at least 30 minutes each time. Chris used to cut out a lot. He would bring me back like 30, 40 minute episodes. And I'd be like, what the fuck, dude? And I would like complain to him, like, you cut out too much. Got to keep some of the bad jokes in. It makes the good joke shine more, you know?
We were talking about contrast earlier.
Yeah, it's called pacing, Adam. And
it's called fucking pacing, take Adam. Notes, take motherfucker. Fucking notes.
And I'd say 30, 40 minutes per episode. Combat episodes could get maybe an hour cut sometimes. That's just us figuring out roles and rolling and
what is my character good at?
Finding shit on the character sheet and all that shit.
Yeah. And to making Holden the numbers paperwork, man. So Adam framed it earlier, like he gave me the idea. That might be true.
It was always part of your character sheet.
And yeah, it was part of my character sheet.
It was always part of your backstory when, like, you
that's
were, like,
true.
Coming
so,
up
yeah.
with your character and, like, asking me, like, is this a thing? Is this a thing?
It was always a thing that I wanted him to be and never got the chance to. So with, like, everything being resetted and the setting changed and with Zeta, I was like, okay, now's my chance. If I'm ever going to do it, this is the time. I remember even having like discussions with Adam about throwing me some bones with it, and he finally did that.
Because the OG conversation about the character was like the whole fucking joke was you were a office intel officer promoted to a field officer position, and how bad of an idea that is.
Oh, was it like a situation where Garma was like, we need a spy. And it's like, well, this guy doesn't have any write-ups. And it's like, all right,
we literally had that. We literally had a scene very close to that where he met Garma in his office. And Garma's like, yeah, you're very good on paper. We're going to put you out in the field.
Yeah. So, you know, when people do have that criticism of Holden where it's like, he's so useless. That's the part I mostly let shine. So at least in season one, there was never... Like, I really stuck with the useless, incompetent part without
given the reason why. So yeah, Zeta, it was good that I got to, like, you know, fill out the reason why. But I also made Holden a little less incompetent. So
It is pretty ironic that you were playing a character that was kind of bumbling when you get so much done for Dead Set Media behind the scenes. There is a certain...
Hell yeah, dude.
There's like, I don't know. It's like when you're smart and you play a dumb character. You know what I mean? It's fun. It's cool. It's interesting. You know, but I do think it's funny if anyone were to look at you and try to paste Holden over you as a person, it would be like, bang, bang, instant rejection, big old X with the square around it and everything. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't match up. But you are so believable as Holden. And so I think
I'm so believably confident.
But you still convince us you're so a dumbass. Well,
for how confident you are.
you know what I actually think is kind of funny about people interacting with Holden is the dynamic, at least with the way Fern plays his characters and Madgun specifically, they like to fall into Holden's incompetent. It's like been established. That's how they play with Holden's
dynamic.
They're
in tune with the lore.
And then Holden kind of repeatedly
has been making better decisions,
so ends up doing like better than them, even in fights and shit. Yes. It makes it a little weird.
It's really good. have you noticed? I don't even know if this is going to the pod, but if it does, have you noticed that the attitude towards Holden has completely shifted between seasons 1 and 3? Almost like keeping him out of season 2 and keeping you out of season 2 as a tactical choice has paid off. Is strategically this whole thing has been written for the last 10 years, or does it seem more like an improvised off the cuff kind of a thing, like it actually is big wink towards the audience?
Adam, you're really gonna write that in his script like that blunt?
What the fuck, dude? Oh, getting okay. Meta.
Pretty good writing, honestly.
Shadow, you're reading the editor's note, not the dialogue.
Oh,
you were supposed to transition us. To
shit. My bad. Hey, future Dallas, cut that shit out.
Got it.
Next question comes from Swappy. Zach, we pointed this out before, but I'd like to hear an air quotes official statement, end air quotes, if that makes sense. It does make sense, Swappy. I made it make sense. I once pointed out how Lone Star, and totally unrelated character Cinco, seemed to evoke the likeness of Don Quixote. That's spelled with a Q, U, I, and an X, and then an O, and then a T. And then E.
I know how to spell it, dude.
That was for Adam, not for you. But whatever. Snitch on yourself if you want.
I knew that, too.
When it comes to the characterization, i.e., an example, overall well-meaning characters who tend to cause trouble for others via their words and actions due to their mindset / philosophy not being in line with the overall more cynical nature the world and its people have taken. Was this intentional, or complete happenstance? ? Well written, Swappy. Goddamn, nice.
Yeah, tell him about your Don Quixote research you were doing before making Lone Star.
So I think all my characters kind of lean that way because I'm a bad actor. And and in real life, I tend to be a very optimistic person who can also be a pain in the ass for everyone.
Damn, it got real after that pit. You had all that bullshit stored in your balls, dude. You had your bladder full of bullshit.
I was like, let's just go ahead and piss out all that pretense before I answer this question.
And you're like, all right, I'm done being pretentious. Really? That was a bunch of bullshit. Yeah.
The gaslighting is Adam's spilling all over the floor. No, right no.
Adam's balls are so full of piss.
All of my characters, Cinco, Lone Star, Co-Pilot, you know, I do them all that way.
That's too.
But Holden was modeled after Don Quixote.
So was Rast and Cav. And
I don't know who Don Quixote is, but I know he inspired Don Miguel. And Don Miguel made frozen burritos. And Don Miguel also translated RM2K for free and pirated it out on the internet for his English speakers back in the year 2001 based off of the burrito, based off of the guy. You can listen to the podcast. You know exactly what I just said.
And that's the reason Dallas and I are friends.
Whoa, that's extra deep lore. Let's not get into
that. I was trying to paint the connection. I was hoping somebody else would pick it up, and I appreciate you guys for doing that. Smooches the both of you. If you have stereo enabled, you know that went to two different people. Speaking of two different people, Adam Swaffy wants to know, what are some struggles that you as a DM face when it comes to leading this entire story? Outside of your party constantly bullying you during sessions, how do you decide what to do next despite what your party does? Which, by the way,
I don't want to say we, because I'm not in that group, but Adam gets bullied outside of those sessions too. I don't want you guys to think that that's just like some bullshit that they do for the podcast. I've been around it when they did it for the podcast. I've been part of it in an accessory. And in other regards, I've been an active participant. It's real. This is real shit. Mm-hmm. It's the most method one can
get. You're seeing the real us when you listen to Fetty Scum.
Goddamn right.
I generate an aura that begs to be bullied.
It really does.
So it is really my own fault.
It's your intention. It's your intention.
Good.
But to answer the other question, I guess my chief difficulty would be making sure that the content I write out for an episode gets into the episode. While also allowing the players to do what they want in the episode and kind of, you know, have fuck around time effectively, and finding a good balance between those two.
And let's be honest, we're a pretty tame party. Like we get into some really fucked up like scenarios sometimes, at least when we're bullshitting and like, you know, trying to battle and shit. But for the most part, we just want you to tell us what to do, and we'll sit there and wait and be like, okay, Adam, man, what do we do now?
But that's also not necessarily good. I want a more active party that takes reins, that I can give the stimuli to and they get a response from without me prompting it more. Or characters who act on their own. Like, so finding the right balance to kind of prompt you to take your own actions, but also prompt you to enough to follow the plot and not just say, fuck it, is like the hard part to strike. And then the other mini question about how do I plan what to do next? Really, I think about in just what I would want to see next and what I think would be cool. It's that simple. I'm sorry. It's not an interesting answer, but that is, I just think of what I would expect next and what I want to see. And then like sometimes I tweak it because I'm like, that's too normal or that's too self-indulgent. And so I tweak it and change it to make it something a little bit more unexpected. But most of the time I'm just doing stuff I want to see, which is why if you get to know me well enough, you will probably predict all of my plot points because you know what I want to see.
You're also single, boys.
That's right.
So if you want to see more of what Adam has given you to see, slide into his DMs.
Yeah, everyone DM him.
Ain't a taken men spinning around this glass full of cab sav.
I don't. I really don't think we should put out these bat signals on the. We're winding down, coming down to it. Dust Cool. Sorry, I think I got your name right. If I didn't, let me know. But Dust Cool wants to know, Adam, how do you get in the headspace to play characters canon to the shows? And what would you do if the players randomly killed them?
Okay. So a few different answers to this. I do not play anyone I'm pretty sure I'm not cut out to play. Mm-hmm. I know my limitations as an actor. I have a few archetypes I'm good at. I have several that I'm not. So there is a reason you have not seen Captain Bright or have really interacted with Armorer Ray or Camille Badon. There's a reason you have not bumped into these characters. I deal with ones that are more minor characters that are going to be, A, give me more leeway and freedom to play how I kind of want to play them, while also, you know, I will try to adhere and get to the headspace of what little I know about them and kind of get into the space of that. I did recently, funny enough, have a conversation about what was the highest profile official canon character to Gundam that I would be willing to put in Fetty Scum as a character.
Char Aznable.
No, I did not play Char.
I was joking, Adam.
Quattro Regina.
The answer is Judo Ashita, the main character of Double Zeta. I could play him. And that would be because I get to fuck with the players and things would be fair game.
Nice.
Good answer.
Nice. What if we randomly killed one of these precious canon NPCs, Adam? Mm-hmm. What would you do if I just pulled out a knife and I just slit Jared's throat right in front of you?
Yeah. I would
drink his blood.
I would take you aside into your own VC, and I would tell you that we could not do that, and that we are going to replay that scene, and then we would slide back into our recording studio, the one we're in now, and then we would redo that scene, and you wouldn't do that time.
You're right. I'm sorry, Adam.
But what if we were like, yo, we just streamed that to Twitch and everyone just saw it?
This is why Adam won't do streams with us.
Come on.
Funny enough, we have an idea for a live show that is a little bit more flexible and appropriate for a live show, but it's not Fetty Scum. It is a project far off in the distant twinkling eyes of myself.
Emphasis on tweet.
I was going to say, you're going to do a live show without me? I'm hurt.
You're technically invited. It will be a West Marches style campaign, and so we will be able to rotate a lot of players and even potentially GMs.
Dude, east, west, south, north, I don't give a fuck. I'll march whichever way. I don't give a shit.
You son of a bitch, I'm in too. Also.
Fine, I'll do it.
I still want to play Reinhardt in space, though. I still keep seeing all this fucking gay space stuff, and I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I remember trying to prepare for that. My Twitter is still tainted.
Armada Ascendant? Yeah.
We're not going to get into that. I don't want to have to deal with all that.
Right. Armada Ascendant is a post-Blood and Sun project in that it is titled Armada Ascendant, and that's it.
Bet. Our next question, and it looks like our last question comes in right at the buzzer. Nice shot. LaCroix Knight needs to know. No, wait. Actually, Show has one more. Show, the junkie boy, not anime, wants to know, Adam, how long was the cold shower you took after playing Jared?
Look, I didn't really have a fallout after playing Jared, but I did have to actually get into the headspace of Jared a good bit because I was trying to... You know, he thinks he's very confident and smooth, and to some degree, he kind of is, because he is a, like, conventionally handsome person. And so, like, I did have to, like, try to get into that faux confidence headspace, and that was kind of hard to do, because naturally, I'm very confident, I say, drinking the last of my wine.
He had to pretend to be fake confident when he's just so damn
fake
real
being
confident.
Fake, dude.
The last question comes to us from LaCroix and Knight. Adam! That's you, Adam. In the alternate universe where you decided to go with option two and make the podcast about Warhammer instead of Gundam, how long does the show last before receiving a cease and desist from Games Workshop for attempting to have any amount of fun with their IP?
Hilariously, I know the course of progression of where this would go. It's very comparable to a thing that already exists called If the Emperor Had a Text-to-Speech Device. It would exist for like 2 years, and then we would pivot to something else, probably Vampire the Masquerade.
Or Gundam,
I guess, yeah.
Grim Dark Gundam, you know, to fit the tone better.
Grimdom. Just pivot the 40K characters into the Gundam setting.
Yeah, all these badass space marines having to be like, oh no, I'm a child soldier.
Oh no, Lone Star, do you think I should run like this? He's got like a chainsaw thing in his hand.
Dallas, I have bad news for you. Deep down in all their hearts, every space marine is a child soldier.
This is true.
That's sweet. They're all children in heart.
And by the way, hearts, plural.
Oh yeah, because they have more. Two hearts, yeah, four lungs.
I believe they have like, two hearts, four lungs.
Two hearts beat as one.
Two hearts, they have to beat as one, because that's how it's going to have to work for if this works.
That's how that works.
And that's going to be the last question. Thank you. Oh, wait, no, we didn't read any of the fucking Patreon questions. God damn it.
Ooh, you piece of shit.
You piece of shit. Who hosts this show, you scrub? All right, I'm taking over.
All right, all right. Rapid fire through them. I'll read them.
Rapid fire.
Wait, real quick. Can I give you the torch at least?
Yeah, let me see it.
All right, I forgot about the Patreon questions. Dallas, lead us through the Patreon questions. Quick, here's the torch.
All right, Michael Hoffman said, for Zach and Dallas, who do you think the leak is? Oh, wait, didn't we do this one? Cheryl.
That was Cheryl. Yeah, okay. Know that one.
Okay, I am Dallas. I am a Dallas simp now. Sorry, Zach asked. Zach, how do you plan on spanking the monkey? Dallas, would you have saved the McDaniels employee if they were Miles? You go first, Zach.
I plan on spanking the monkey with a stern but loving rod of justice.
I would have saved the McDaniels employee no matter what if I was the one who got to interact with him, but it was Wolf, so he died. The end.
All right.
It's a very honest answer of why that character died.
Beautiful. And it looks like that's all the questions we have from our Discord members and our patrons over at patreon.com/deadsetmedia. Boys, do you have anything else to tag on?
I mean, we plugged the Adam DMs thing about 12 times, so that's all I wanted.
If that makes my DMs the final podcast.
My DMs are open on Twitter, on Discord. Yes. I already get plenty of random inappropriate messages. You will not
sorry.
Surprise me.
Oh, did you get my dick pic the other week, by the way?
I did. Good girl.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to... I thought I would sneak in there. Art. I was like, there's so many... I figured I would be able to slip one in. You might just scroll past and be like, all right, nice cock, heart emoji reaction.
No, I but look then you at said
good shit shadow. Them. And I was like, wait a second, hold up. He actually looked at it. Ew. No, you know, but thank you.
I'm out of wine and we're out of time.
All right. Thank you everyone for listening. I appreciate y'all for being the audience. Los Tres Amigos. That's Spanish for my free homies. And thank you for coming along onto the podcast. I appreciate it. The candor was so great. I'm sick and you guys totally picked up the weight, heavyweight for me. And I just want to say smooches and thank you the whole way around. All three of you.
I love you all.
Excellent. All right. Well, with that, it's Adam, it's Zach, it's Dallas. Y'all know where to find us. DSM for fucking life, right or die. Every other reference in the outro, the music is picking up. You have been the Patreon and the public audience. I've been the White Shadow. They've been the boys. And together we are out.
In this war.
Dead Set Medium. Good.